Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the PLDT conference call. This conference call is being recorded. Replay information will be provided at the end of the call. At this point, I would like to turn you over to Melissa Virgel de Dios, Head of Investor Relations of PLDT, for the introductions. Please go ahead and thank you.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us today to discuss the company's financial and operating results for the first quarter of 2015. As mentioned in the conference call invitation, today's presentation is posted on our website. For those who have not yet been able to do so, you may download the presentation from www.pldt.com under the Investor Relations section. For today's presentation, we have with us members of the PLDT Group Management Team, namely Mr. Paulina Sereno, President and Chief Executive Officer of both PLDT and SMART, Mr. Chris Young, Chief Financial Advisor of PLDT, Ms. Annabel Limchua, SVP Treasurer of PLDT and Chief Financial Officer of SMART, and Ray Espinosa. At this point, let me turn the floor over to Mr. Paulina Sereno for the presentation.
Good afternoon. Allow me to share with you PLDT's financial and operating results for the first quarter of 2015. PLDT's financial results for the first 3 months of 2015 continue to manifest the impact of our growing retail and corporate data and broadband businesses, the results of the group's more aggressive response to competition in the wireless segment, as well as progress in expanding the PLDT group's participation in the emerging digital economy. Revenues for the period were stable at $42.6 billion. Consolidated service revenues dipped by 2% to $40.5 billion, as fixed-line service revenues rose by 1% to $15.9 billion, while wireless service revenues declined by 4% to $27.9 billion. Consolidated EBITDA for the first quarter was lower by 2% year-on-year at $19.3 billion, but EBITDA margin remained stable at 48%. Reported net income for the period remained at $9.4 billion, similar to the same period last year, while core income dipped by 5% to $9.3 billion. On the next slide, let us now go through the financial results in greater detail. Our data and broadband businesses continued to register robust growth with a 1.1 billion peso rise to 11.2 billion at the end of March 2015, exceeding revenues from SMS and now accounting for 27% of total service revenue. The increase in broadband and data revenues were fully absorbed by the 1.3 billion decrease in international voice and national long-distance revenues. Our voice and SMS businesses, representing 60% of total service revenues, also registered declines. Revenues from these maturing businesses were 2% lower at $24.2 billion. Consolidated EBITDA dipped by 2% to $19.3 billion, as lower cash operating expenses and higher net non-service revenues partly offset lower service revenues and higher provisions. EBITDA margin of the period was 48%, stable year-on-year and higher quarter-on-quarter. On the next line, core net income for the first quarter of 2015 dipped by $500 million, or 5% year-on-year to $9.3 billion, mainly due to lower EBITDA, and higher net financing costs offset by lower provision for income tax and a decrease in non-cash operating expenses. Reported net income for the period was stable year-on-year at $9.4 billion, as higher net foreign exchange and derivative gains fully absorbed the decline in core income. On the next line, let me now discuss highlights of the fixed-line business, which continued to post year-on-year gains. This segment grew by 4% to $14.3 billion net of interconnection costs. 88% of fixed-line service revenues registered improvements versus last year. The 400 million peso drag from our international and national long-distance services were fully absorbed by the combined 1 billion peso increase in data and broadband revenues and in domestic voice and miscellaneous revenues. Adding to the improvement in this segment's performance is the rise in non-service revenues from the sale of Telpad, Tivolution, FamCam, and Signal over Fiber, which were up by 54% year-on-year. Fixed line, EBITDA, increased by 3% to $6.3 billion, mainly due to higher service revenues, net non-service revenues, and stable cash operating expenses. EBITDA margin for the quarter remained stable at 39% year-on-year and quarter-on-quarter. PLDT's fixed-line subscriber base grew by 6% to 2.2 million at the end of March 2015. On the next slide, wireless service revenues for the quarter decreased by 4% to $27.9 billion, mainly due to declines in SMS and international long-distance revenues, which exceeded the rise in broadband revenues. The drag from international voice was noticeably stronger this quarter, likely a result of the increasing shift to over-the-top communications. The success of the initiatives to grow our postpaid revenues are evident in the robust 11% rise in revenues and 18% increase in subscribers. Postpaid revenues now account for 23% of total cellular revenues. Prepaid revenues remained under pressure from price competition in SMS, as well as our more aggressive response to defend market share starting in the second half of 2014. Wireless EBITDA for the quarter was lower by 5% at $12.6 billion, with declines in service revenues partly offset by decreases in cash operating expenses and subsidies. EBITDA margin of 45% was lower from 46% in the first quarter of 2014, but stable quarter on quarter. Our total wireless subscriber base stood at 73 million at the end of March 2015, consisting of 69.6 million cellular subscribers and 3.4 million wireless broadband subscribers. On the next slide, data revenues continued their upward trajectory with an 11% year-on-year increase to $11.2 billion at the end of March 2015. $0.8 billion. Wireless broadband revenues were higher by 2% to $2.5 billion, and corporate data revenues, inclusive of data center revenues, rose by 15% to $2.6 billion. Mobile internet revenues consistently posted quarter-on-quarter increases from the first quarter of 2014, with first quarter 2015 revenues higher by 4% compared with the previous quarter and by 19% year-on-year. Our free internet promo, which ran from the end of September 2014 until end of February 2015, was quite successful in stimulating usage. There were 6 million unique users during the promo period, of which 70% were first-time users. About 30% of our subscriber base own smartphones, of which around one-third pay for data. We have moved towards more volume-based pricing, bundling of SMS and data, and greater data monetization by offering free internet with load purchases, sponsored data arrangements, and the like. We continue to stimulate data usage by enabling users to access selected sites for free through our partnership with internet.org or Facebook, or through Safe Zone. These initiatives will help build subscriber confidence in using smartphones for data and increase appreciation for an always-on experience, which should result in more frequent top-ups and consequently higher ARPUs. The PLDT Group's broadband subscriber base grew to 4.5 million at the end of first quarter 2015. Fixed broadband subscribers rose to 1.1 million, while wireless subscribers increased to 3.4 million. On the next slide, moving on to the balance sheet, excluding approximately 18.8 billion pesos of cash for dividend payments in April 2015, net debt and net debt to EBITDA at the end of March 2015 stood at 2.4 billion US dollars and 1.4 times respectively. 47% of gross debt is denominated in US dollars. Taking into our account US dollar cash holdings and hedges, only about $1 billion, or 32% of our total debt, is unhedged. About $200 million US dollars, or 18% of service revenues in the first quarter, are dollar-linked and provide a natural hedge. After interest rate swaps, 84% of our debt are fixed-rate loans. On page 9, free cash flow for the first quarter of 2015 rose by 36%, or 3.8 billion pesos, to 14.6 billion pesos, mainly due to 5.1 billion in dividends received from Beacon in connection with the sale of the 5% Meralco stake in June 2014, partly offset by a 700 million increase in CapEx and a 300 million peso rise in net interest paid. CapEx guidance for 2015 is 39 billion. Included in this year's CapEx are projects in support of the anticipated rise in network utilization from growing data usage. These include expansion of our 3G and 4G coverage and capacity. Further extension of our fiber assets to nearly 114 kilometers and increasing our data center capacity to 8,000 racks by 2016. On the next slide, let me now shift gears to what we are doing to move the organization into the fast-emerging digital world. You will recall that 56% of our fixed-line revenues are now from data and broadband services, while 17% of our wireless revenues are from broadband. We anticipate the contribution from data and broadband to continue to grow and replace traditional and legacy revenue. This indicates that there is an ongoing evolution of the telco subscriber into a digital consumer and therefore a need for the PLDT group to respond by undertaking customer-centric changes in order to identify new ways of serving the customer. With these changes come new opportunities for the group to enable businesses to gain a deeper understanding of their customers in order to identify new engagement touchpoints and provide a unified customer experience. Last quarter, we previewed to you some of our initiatives in the digital space. Even as our strategy to prepare for a digital future is a work in progress, we would like to share with you some of the building blocks we are working with. These consist of platforms, products, a pathway to execution, and, of course, people. I have asked some of my colleagues to discuss the next few slides. Maurice Ramos, our COO for EPLDT, will discuss the digital enterprise transformation. Doy Bea, president of Voyager, will run us through some of their major innovation launches. Ariel Fermin, head of our consumer and home businesses, will discuss the focused effort on the digital consumer. And Noel Lorenzana, head of MediaQuest TV5 and Signal, will provide highlights of their multimedia initiatives. So, Nerys.
Thank you, Mr. Nazareno. Good afternoon to all. Today, I will share with you how PLDT is enabling businesses to accelerate their journey towards digital transformation. To enable businesses hit their digital sweet spot, PLDT is aggressively embarking on the following business transforming initiatives. And to start off, I'd like to talk about our initiative on enabling infrastructure. We have observed that the decision patterns of the enterprises have shifted from building their own data centers to engaging a credible data center provider to host and manage their critical IT assets. PLDT's response to this is through the aggressive expansion of our network of data centers. From our current network of 6 data centers, with rack capacity of about 3,000 racks, we are set to expand this to 7 data centers by year-end with 6,700 racks, and further expand this to 8,000 racks by end of 2016 with the completion of our 8th data center. And to serve out-of-country data center requirements, we allied very closely with NTT and Acacia, which is really the joint venture of incumbent telcos in Southeast Asia. The second initiative is in the area of big data platform and enterprise insights and solutions. This is another approach by which we enable business accelerate their digital transformation. Enterprises have recognized the value, the business value of big data, but admitted that they don't know how to start, they don't know how to do it, and they do not have the talent to implement. We saw the gap, and we recognize this as an opportunity. Hence, PLDT introduced Big Data Platform as a Service and Enterprise Insight Solutions sometime March this year. Big Data Platform as a Service is a managed analytics service, while Big Data Insight Solutions, on the other hand, provides enterprises with insights that can help them make decisions such as route planning, site selection, store inventory management, just to name a few. PLDT is also the only Asian founding member of the Open Data Platform, which gives us a seat and a voice in the largest big data standards development body in the world. Third, we've also launched a number of efficiency-enhancing mobility solutions. We've launched Smart M2M Workforce, which is a mobile application used for Salesforce planning and workload management. We also have launched M2M Credit, which is a mobile tool for financial institutions to conduct automated credit investigation. In the same manner, we've launched M2M Health, which is a mobile solution for remote ECG and remote fetal monitoring. We've also launched M2M Pay, a wireless payment solution using smart devices as point-of-sale terminals. These are just some of our expanding M2M portfolio. And finally, to wrap this all around, we've entered into a number of mutually beneficial partnerships with leaders in IT industry. They should allow us to share capabilities and best practice to jointly develop and offer new space solutions in the enterprise market. I'd like to call on Doy for the next presentation.
Let me give everybody an update on how what kind of traction our digital launches have achieved so far. Let me start with Smart eMoney. On the domestic front, we are looking at the 250 billion peso throughput, including payments, transfers, and trade money for this year. We are already the biggest domestic remittance platform, and we have just signed up with Zoom for international bills payment, meaning Filipinos abroad sending money direct to merchants for the payment of bills. Also domestically, we are already with the rocket companies enabling them for payments as well as distribution. For example, Easy Taxi drivers are now paid using Smart eMoney by Easy Taxi. Zalora payments to Zalora on MasterCard are now being processed by Smart eMoney. Internationally, we are launching this year in 4 Asian countries together with our rocket partners as well as local partners. I cannot specify the Asian countries now, but there are 4 in our timeline this year. We are also collaborating with rocket companies in Europe and Latin America to complete their payment environment, us acting as acquirers or in some cases as issuers operating under Visa or MasterCard. On SafeZone, SafeZone is the platform that allows mobile consumers to access sites without having to pay for data access. In other words, it's sponsored data. Good traction on this as well. Big companies in the Philippines are now onboarded the experience among enterprises is that their visits increase in multiples, some as high as 7 times, 12 times, with the use of SafeStore. This is a play that enables both consumers to have free access as well as enterprises to have more visits from their online customers. PowerUp is the platform that allows mobile consumers to get data sachets, 5 minutes, 5 hours of Facebook, 1 hour of Twitter, and the like. We now have 70% of our mobile internet users downloading the site, downloading the app. So they now have the app. There is an international play on PowerUp. PowerUp is now embedded in the equipment of Sandvine. Sandvine is one of the major telco equipment vendors. We are being integrated into two other major vendors' equipment. So hopefully by this year we'll have three. But this is a way of getting our innovation across to the rest of the world on a licensing agreement. On retail commerce, TapDisc is the online storefront that helps SMEs create their own online shop within minutes. It's like a Shopify. So we have 20,000 merchants registered now under TapDisc. Takatak is the online aggregated marketplace. We have 100,000 products featured in Takatak. Lock by Mobile is our security solution for credit card, debit card, or ATM fraud. It's a platform that allows a mobile user to lock his account, credit card, debit card, or ATM, if he is not doing any transaction, and unlock it while he's doing the transaction, and lock it again afterwards. We are looking at an addressable card base here of 13 billion cards. We are already in discussions with almost all the major card companies in the world. We expect to have some developments on this in the next several weeks. G2P is our platform for distribution of cash from government to people. We're speaking here of the mobile cash transfer as well as the conditional cash transfer, which are big money flows in the emerging markets. Just for a perspective, we did $1.6 billion in the first quarter, representing 38% of all conditional cash transfers the Philippine government paid out. So these are just some developments. We can entertain questions later.
All right. Good afternoon. I am Ariel Fermin, and I'd like to give you a perspective on the consumer business. Let me start by saying that we are very much committed to serving the consumer. And the digital program that we have allows us to view the consumer in a more holistic way, and hence puts us in a position to deliver a unified customer experience. So with the interface of PLDT Home and mobile to a consumer group, we have an opportunity to leverage on our capabilities in both fronts, fixed and wireless, first to deliver a seamless digital experience in this case. So now the marketplace has evolved, no? And the same consumers we have at home, the families assume different roles, various roles in life when they step out of their respective homes. Our task then is for them to remain connected with their family members and loved ones and enable them for them to be successful in life. So the possibilities for this group are endless, as we have shown in previous periods, quarters, that when we harness the strength of the PLDT group, we create beautiful things, products, services that make a difference in consumers' lives. So you will see a sheet, and in that sheet you will have some examples of what the group has done over the past quarters, just to let you in on the possibilities as well. For one, the mobile group, we have made broadband accessible to everyone and stimulated usage amongst, particularly amongst new subscribers, new users. We launched the first and still the only IPTV service with Signal, running on both fiber and DSL platforms. With a Telpad, we have transformed the landline, a legacy business, for fixed, and have entered the TV space as we put Signal on Telpad. And thus, it has evolved from a landline to a Telpad to now one of kids' favorite TVs. And recently, the FamCam, which is a home monitoring service, and it has given families, parents, peace of mind, particularly when they're not at home, because it is home monitoring service that runs on broadband. So I just want to close by saying that we are proud of our past, the legacy business we have. It still remains to be part of our core. Excited of what we have right now and very much thrilled because of the digital possibilities we have for the future. As a group, as a company, we will continue to be at the forefront in leading the Filipino consumer to a digital life. So the next speaker will be Noel Lorenzano, heads of the Media Quest Group.
Hello, good afternoon. Here's all about how the group is shaping the multimedia landscape using a digital play. Let me start off with the very successful Signal TV, now the Philippines' premier and largest pay TV provider in the country. As you know, since last year, we've actually overtaken a 20-year incumbent in terms of subscribers. Quarter one, we ended with almost 870,000 subscribers, a growth of 28% same period last year. And we expect this to continue this year, given the initiatives we're actually taking. Revenue continues to grow strongly at 41% quarter one this year compared to last year, and Signal remains to be a profitable business. So what do we do apart from increasing subscribers? So now we need to get into specific channels specific to Signal, basically female channel, male channel, sports channel. And we recently signed up with Bloomberg TV International to create Bloomberg Philippines, establish the premier paid TV business channel. And this is going to be exclusive to Signal. This will air for 24 hours. And we expect this to be a boost for Signal in terms of attracting the right people in the business sector. Other partnerships also we're doing is with Fox, where Signal Player will actually offer, together with the PLDT Home and Smart, content from Fox. As you know, Fox offers a very popular Walking Dead, Da Vinci Demons. Also, it's known for sports, various Grand Slam events in tennis, in golf, Formula One, and even the NBA. And this will be enjoyed, as I said, by Signal, PLDT Home, and Smarts Mobile. What do we do to further increase subscriber growth? We've recently launched Signal over DSL, and we expect a couple of 100,000 more to actually sign up, further increasing the potential of subscriber growth for Signal. Speaking of digital, we launched News 5 Everywhere 3 years ago. It's now the number one dedicated online news digital service in the country, nearing 300 million unique views since last year. And this year we expect it to grow further and stronger. We also, from the digital space, we launched the Digital 5 unit, the content, digital content creation, curation unit of MediaQuest, which offers full-service digital content designed to deliver a full 360-degree services to advertisers. It will deliver digital content ideation, creation, curation across genres, target consumers and different screens, as I said, TV, laptops, tablets, and mobile phones. We aim to be the leading entertainment, sports, information, digital content site in the country, which delivers online eyeballs using our content for advertising opportunities. In fact, only last month, we delivered 2.5 million unique views and 11 minutes average time spent on the site. To give you an idea, average time spent for YouTube is 10 minutes. 11 minutes is actually quite good. And speaking of partnerships, we had inked a partnership with an Australian group called Brand New Media, which is basically an end-to-end content marketing outfit, multinational outfit, which aims to deliver online channels per interest group. So it delivers channels on cooking, on health, on sports, on dressing, on fashion, which really offer specific targeted advertising opportunities for our advertisers. I forgot to mention earlier, going back to Signal, what do we do after increasing subscribers or, you know, acquiring subscribers? We now go into content creation, and we are inking a number of partnerships, the first one being a partnership with Viva, the leading film production company in the Philippines, which then will create original content for Signal, only available in Signal. There's a lot going on. I just can't mention it now, and be happy to mention it as soon as we're ready to actually announce it. So that's what's happening for multimedia, and it's aimed to actually push the digital space. Thank you.
On page 15, the execution of our digital strategy will be via in-house developed initiatives as well as investments and partnerships. Doy Bea discussed the innovations initiated in-house by Voyager and Smart eMoney. Let me provide you a few updates on our recent investments in digital adjacent spaces. Our investment in Rocket Internet has increased in value from 333 million euros in August 2014 to 443 million euros at the end of March. More importantly, it continues to provide new opportunities for our mobile payments platform beyond the Philippine market. We expect to announce more of our initiatives in the coming months. Recently, we announced a $15 million investment in iFlix, which plans to be Southeast Asia's leading internet TV service, which will offer subscription video on demand, or SVOD, that can be viewed on multiple screens. We believe this business model has good potential in Southeast Asia, given its success in other markets. At this point, let me turn over the floor to our chairman, Mr. Manny B. Pangilinan.
So thank you. Thank you, Paulie. Consistent with the changes that have just been described to you by the earlier speakers, we have had as well to do a bit of reorganization on the manpower executive level of the group, starting with the decision to unify or combine the home business vertical of PLDT, fixed line, with the wireless individual segment of Smart, and that will be managed under Ariel Fermin precisely to provide the kind of unified digital consumer experience under Ariel. We have as well appointed a chief strategy officer whose main task is to help us move to the digital space, and that's Winston D'Amarillo, a technology entrepreneur with a proven track record in enterprise software and digital enterprise transformation. We have as well appointed a chief technology and integration advisor, Mr. Joachim Horn, with over 30 years of global experience in telecoms, having worked at Siemens, T-Mobile, Barty, and Tele2 in Sweden. Joachim will join us starting July. And, of course, Doy will continue to be the steward for our digital effort under the Voyager umbrella, but he will be working closely with Noel Lorenzana on the media side, because media itself, our media assets, both print, video, and other media assets are moving towards the digital space as well. Then there's a big data unit called Talas, recently named, under Winston, which will run the intelligent data fabric. At the moment, Talas has combined a talent pool of 100 people with best-in-class skills on telco, banking, digital enterprise, and talents on data science and insights. I think this brings us to the last slide, which is the typical guidance numbers. So a few comments, and by way of summation of what the previous speakers have described to you earlier, core income, we've guided earlier in the year at 35 billion. The first quarter results show that we're on track in respect of this core income number, if not slightly ahead of expectations. In fact, the actual first quarter results are slightly ahead of our budgeted numbers for the first quarter. Cash flows continue to be strong, with free cash flows up by 36% to pesos 14.6 billion for the quarter, helped in great measure by the special dividends from Beacon, arising from the sale by PLDT of 5% of the Meralco shares to Metro Pacific. Net debt to EBITDA as well is down to $2 billion and 1.16 times respectively. This will rise slightly in the second quarter as we paid out the full year dividends out of the 2014 core net income. Dividend payout policy, we're maintaining it at 75% of core EPS with a look-back approach. We'll make the final determination towards the end of this particular year. So taken in the round, first quarter results have panned out as expected. From one perspective, it's not slightly ahead, but quite encouraging from another. I say this because, first, on the broadband and data businesses, they continue to grow strongly. And second, on the voice side, we're managing to hold our ground. The fixed voice have grown the revenues by 2% in the quarter, and wireless voice revenues are down by only 1%. So effectively, they cancel each other out. So voice revenues for the group are flat at $8.8 billion for the first quarter. And third, as we all know, the soft side of our business, our toll traffic, both national and international, and as expected, that has declined for the first quarter. And, of course, the texting, which is subject to encroachment by the Internet and other forms of data communication. But I think if you look at the broader picture for each of the fixed and the wireless side, on the fixed side, 56% of the fixed revenues are now data-driven, and therefore, given the preponderant position of data revenues on the fixed side, the fixed line business has managed to grow its revenues by 4% for the quarter, whilst the wireless is down because the data revenues account for only 17% from 15% of the wireless revenue. So we really have to accelerate the evolution of the wireless business over to the data side. And, of course, in the course of that transformation, there'll be some pain as we go through that transition. So it is our CapEx is likely to some comment on the CapEx, the guidance number of $39 billion for 2015, but as we accelerate the deployment of our 3G infrastructure and as well continue to build out our 4G LTE infrastructure, I think at a level higher than anticipated, the likely CapEx number will be north of $39 billion. I think we should come out with a slightly more precise number when we announce our first half results for our CapEx. But as I said, it is likely to be, as a percentage of revenues, likely to be north of 20%, which is the guidance number that we've adopted for quite some time. So on the whole, I think the group is determined to undertake this digital pivot in respect of introducing or enriching the digital experience across the board, across individuals, whether that's in the home or on the wireless side, and for enterprise as well, which will require an updated telco infrastructure, a digital spine, as we call it, and of course with the assistance of Voyager, the digital units, and the relevant organization that we need to deploy in order to bring us to where we are from the past to the new digital future. I guess that finishes our presentation. We ready for the Q&A?
Thank you.
Open the line for questions, please.
The floor is now open for your questions. If you have questions, please press star 1 slowly on your telephone keypad. Should you wish to cancel your question, you may press star 2 key. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 slowly on your telephone keypad. Should you wish to cancel your question, you may press star 2 key. Our first question comes from Luis Hilado. Your line is now open.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for the call. I just had three questions about the quarter results and one about e-money. On the results, just we were noticing that SMS seems to not be declining as much this quarter, whether it's year-on-year or Q-on-Q. Just wondering what's driving that. But meanwhile, wireless voice seems to be 7% down. And it seems to be a pricing issue. Is there any promotion that is causing that, or is that just market forces? The second question is regarding the depreciation and amortization in the quarter. Dropped quite sharply Q&Q and even down year-on-year. Should we expect this for the remaining quarters and analyze this number? Third question is the postpaid growth you're seeing, which is quite healthy. Is this primarily internal migration, or is it market share growth as well? And last question was on e-money. The throughput is quite impressive at $250 billion. Just wondering what actions you'll be taking to increase the monetization of that throughput for yourself.
Louis, thank you for the questions. Let me handle the SMS portion. The 5% reduction on SMS on a year-to-year basis in the first quarter of this year is more or less the level of normal decrease. What has happened in the past was when our competitor launched the free Facebook and we did not respond right away, this has caused the subscribers from our end to get the second SIMs, and that is why the SMS went down. But at this point, since we launched the free internet, which happened sometime in end September up to end of February, maximum 30 MB plus free Facebook, and this promo has been continued now, but with a minimum promo load of 10 pesos before you can avail of the free internet 30 MB. So that is the reason why the SMS has been cushioned in terms of decrease. Let me also point out that the free internet promo has generated quite a good following, 6 million internet users. And out of which 70% were new users. So I hope that answers the question. And number two, what's the number
I think, Louis, the issue on the depreciation is not so much the current quarter's depreciation. I think it's the comparative number. There was somewhat of an accelerated depreciation in Q1 last year. So I think if you are trying to get a steer on what the full-year depreciation might look like, I think you can use the current or the first quarter and annualize that, and it will probably be a little bit higher as we go into the year because, as Manny indicated in his comments, it's likely that the CapEx level may actually go somewhat above the $39 billion that we'd originally guided for. I think, Annabelle, you want to comment on the voice?
Third question.
Just on the voice revenue being down 7%, I think we kind of have to look at it in two buckets. The domestic voice component is actually only slightly down by less than 1%, where the bigger decrease has happened is on the international inbound voice, which is down by about 22%. So that's kind of the composite of that is the 7%. In our charts, we've kind of looked at them as two different drivers for each of these.
Okay. On the question about smart money, the nature of the mobile money business is you earn a small percentage if you reckon it against the gross transaction value or the throughput. Having said that, we are making a decent return on this throughput. But the more important thing is rather than monetization at this point, is building the ecosystem, and that includes the consumers, the merchants, and the sources of funds. So in terms of that, the throughput of 250 billion pesos is a good accomplishment for us to prepare the way for a full ecosystem for smart money.
And your question regarding the postpaid growth, certainly the interest in data plans spurred by higher smartphone ownership has driven the increase in postpaid subscribers and revenues. So quite a bit of that does come from the fact that prepaid subscribers are upgrading to postpaid to enjoy the full benefits of data plans. There's also an element of subscribers continuing to acquire second lines, which could be a tandem with that of the competitor.
Sorry, just one follow-up. Regarding the international inbound voice decline, that's in your initiative to cut the price essentially, or that's what's the factor driving that?
No, Louis, it is not the...
It's not the pricing.
It is not a pricing result of a... the international inbound basically has decreased at the same... we are offering at the same rates internationally, and the inbound rates have remained more or less at the same level. It is really the substitution of OTT alternatives for that, like Skype and Viber.
Okay, great. Thanks, that's very clear.
Thank you. Do you have any other questions, Luis?
No, that's all. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Our next question comes from Arthur Pineda. Your line is now open.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. I've got four questions. Firstly, can you talk about your mobile initiatives? Is the focus now more on data monetization, or are you still looking to catalyze data usage and grow the subspace? Second question I had is related to that. When you look at the Philippines compared to other emerging markets such as Thailand or Indonesia, data usage seems to be relatively low, still at around just 10% of your base, extrapolating on your earlier comments, even with the various stimulation activities in place. Why do you think this is the case in the Philippines, and what needs to be done to address this? Third question I had is with regard to your digital investment pivot. Can you give any guidance in terms of what you expect to see from this side? Typically, the telcos in Asia who have gone through this have been seeing losses from this. Should we see the same for PLDT, and what are the aspirations here? Last question I had is with regard to your expenses. Cost containment has been quite impressive in the first quarter. Should we view 1Q as the benchmark for the year, or should we see accelerating costs linked to CapEx increase in the subsequent quarters? Thank you.
Arthur, with respect to the mobile initiative, when it comes to data, the free internet promo, as I said, was quite successful with a 6 million user base, and first user base, and roughly about 70% of them are new users. So we're seeing that. Based on our partnerships with internet.org and the rest of the other initiatives in this space, we are really seeing the growth of data consumption as in line with the smartphone penetration, which is roughly still at 30% at this time. What we are focusing on with the promos now is how to get more participation on paid data, mobile data usage, which is right now only one-third of our smartphone users. And that's the reason why we continue the free internet promo, but with a caveat that you have to have a 10 peso promo load first before you can avail of the free 30 MB free internet promo. I think what was the second question? Well, the data usage average is below 30 MB that we are seeing, mostly as we look at our statistics. These are mainly on social networking sites and YouTube and others. But I think it is really more on the apps that will be available and that will be coming out. And at the same time, the critical mass that should be reached by the smartphone penetration. You can see the inflection point once it reaches about 40% penetration, which is coming sometime, if not towards the end of this year, beginning of next year. The third question, which is
digital initiatives, digital. Expect losses.
Well, I think actually you're budgeting a profit for your for the your digital Voyager unit using the traditional metric of revenues and profit for digital Voyager. Well, the biggest investment, of course, is Rocket Internet, which is at the moment losing money. But since we own only 5 or 6%. So it's held its investment, right? So we don't reflect any losses from that for the moment. But the both on the revenue and the profit side of Voyager Digital Unit taken as a whole, it will reflect some profitability for 2015.
On the fourth question, Arthur, Chris will handle it.
Arthur, just to clarify, the question referred to the non-service revenues and the cost of sales?
No, when we look at your margins, when I look at your individual cost lines, it's actually been quite impressive. In the first quarter, you've seen a lot of your costs go down. Should we view the first quarter as the benchmark for the balance of the year, or should we actually see changing cost trends for the next few quarters?
I don't think it will be quite as impressive as the first quarter, but what's driving part of that in the first quarter is that we have had strong non-service revenue growth from the home business. I think a number of the products that they're selling, which are Telpad, the FamCam, and the like, they actually are able to sell them without a subsidy. So what you've seen is very good growth, to use your term, impressive growth in the revenue there, without this a similar increase in the cost of sale. And I think the home business would anticipate continued strong sales of these non-service line products for the full year. So it may not be as strong as the first quarter, but certainly we would expect their that trend to continue to some extent in the balance of the year. Yes.
Sorry, I want to add that that was actually very much part of the strategy for PLDT Home, where we're seeing already saturated penetration broadband amongst homes who can provide, who can pay for monthly service fees. So the strategy really was to go for value amongst homes who already had broadband. And there you have the Telpan, the FamCam, and all sorts of products like the Evolution that we've sold to the same household. It also brings us into another level of discussion versus the competitor, because the competitor focuses on access, which is broadband penetration. This, we've gone beyond broadband, and we've offered significant value-added services that run on broadband. So that is pretty much within our strategy.
Very clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Do you have any other questions, Mr. Pineda?
We don't. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Our next question comes from Ms. Niraja. Your line is now open.
Hi, guys. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on the data internet revenue trends. QOQ, it has picked up, but I sort of imagine the pickup would have been stronger since you started to monetize. So I just want to understand what are the usage trends that you're seeing once you've started to, you know, insist on a minimum balance, and how do we see this sequential trend panning out in data internet? That's my first question. Secondly, on the voice versus SMS, I think just going back to some of the previous questions, I'm just wondering if it's just are you using some sort of a fair value accounting, so therefore this growth trends of voice versus SMS really may not make sense and we should just look at ARPUs as a whole, or does it still make sense to look at these individual revenue line trends? That is my second question. Thirdly, on this iFlix, you had previously partnered with like ClickPay, so I'm just trying to understand how is this different? And in terms of just content strength, since you've talked about, this is going to be like a cross-market sort of offering, how do you intend to approach this? That's the third question. And lastly, on Voyager, did you say ex-Rocket it's already profitable? And if so, is it getting reflected in revenue EBITDA, or is it just below EBITDA? How is it accounted currently?
I think I can answer the last question first because it's probably the easiest of the four, and I always like to choose the easy question. I think Rocket is not yet profitable, and in fact, we don't equity account the results of Rocket. I think what was referred to by, I think, Polly was the market value, comparing what we invested at to the current market value. And we don't reflect that through the profit and loss account. I think we were just indicating that it had seen a significant increase in value since we had made the original investment. But
okay,
I think
my question was on Voyager X-Rocket.
2 years before. I think the Voyager business should be profitable, yes.
And does it show in revenue EBITDA lines, or is it like post EBITDA as a?
No, it's
It's fully consolidated into our results, yes.
Okay, got it.
On the question of ClickPlay and iFlix, both are content aggregators of movies, particularly in the window of SVOD, a subscription video on demand. No, since last year ended our deal with ClickPlay, which is a local aggregator, and we look forward to this partnership that we have with iFlix. With a corresponding business model that allows us to enter mainstream market. Again, this is part of the strategy where we put value-added services running on broadband. So it should be good.
On your question, I guess we go back to the first question on the data revenues. There are a number of objectives we're trying to hit here. One is really stimulate data usage, given that we've seen that smartphones have been on the rise and the data usage had not sort of followed in step. So a lot of the initiatives in the last couple of months have been to stimulate the adoption and usage of data. But we've tried to move towards a partial monetization model in some of these initiatives. So what we've seen on an overall basis, we've seen that mobile internet revenues have actually grown, notwithstanding the various free offers. In terms of the monetization strategy that we've taken on board with respect to tying the free internet now to load purchases, it's still just been 1 month, but early indications are we're seeing actually some uplift in ARPU in terms of those people who are actually trying on this freebie together with their load purchases. On your question on sort of voice versus SMS, whether we should look at it that way or whether we should look at ARPU, I guess there is an element of allocation that happens when one does buy a bundle, which typically now could include a component of voice, SMS, and data. But at the same time, we do track other metrics like, for example, volumes, traffic volumes. So that gives us an indication of, for example, SMS. Is that actually, you know, just a result of a different allocation methodology, or is there actually change in terms of how people our behavior and habits are? And we do see some decrease in SMS volumes as an example. So, but you're right, there is also at the same time the, you know, the concept that at the end of the day, you want to see that the total ARPU of a subscriber, how that is behaving over time.
Just on that last question, because the surprise is because, I mean, you had indicated that in the market, the SMS bundle pricing had come down, right? It was coming down as low as 10 pesos. And so I assume that there should be some impact on the revenues in the last quarter, and you were matching some of your competitors' offers on the SMS side. But on the but then when I look at both 4Q and 1Q numbers, this doesn't seem to be reflected. So I'm a bit confused as to what actually went on there.
No, I think as Mr. Nazareno indicated earlier, I think the difference is that in the prior quarters before that, where certain offers like free Facebook of a competitor was not matched, there was effectively a shift in terms of subscriber engagement, and therefore it was not just to enjoy free internet, but along with that, some of their SMS usage moved away. So I guess the effect of being able to match initiatives of competitor is to arrest that kind of sharp decline.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
Do you have any other questions, Ms. Niraja?
No, that's it from me. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Our next question comes from Mr. Chait Ben. Your line is now open.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for the presentation. And I just have three questions. The first question is a little bit of a follow to from other guys already asked about this. I just try to pitch it the other way. You have start trying to monetize the data by now requiring subscribers to also subscribe to some of the promotions on voice and SMS side before they can enjoy free internet, and that has to go on for 1 month. Therefore, in the second quarter, if that comes through, we should expect an acceleration in voice and SMS revenues and not mobile internet. Is that a correct way of looking at it? The second question is regarding Signal. I understand that there is now some initiatives on the content production side as well, try to produce some exclusive contents through partnership. Would that be reflected as OPEX on the Signal side, and therefore, I understand the Signal is profitable now. Would that remain the situation, or how should we expect that in, when you invest for the content right now? The third one is regarding the digital investment. I appreciate all the presentations about the initiatives you are taking, but if you need to pick one over the next 2 years that you are most excited about, or that be expected to contribute the most in terms of revenue to you out of these initiatives, what would be that one? Thank you.
Why don't you take the third question, which is the hardest question?
Well, I think in terms of the revenue potential as well as the likelihood of success, Lock by Mobile should be high up in the list, and we will know that soon, this year. That's Lock by Mobile. Big data as well is a is a very promising business. So we have Mr. Damarillo here to take us to where big data should be. And Power Up as well is already there. It's embedded in equipment vendors' equipment. So it's a matter now of harvesting on the innovation. The others as well, MiPay, Smart eMoney has been there for quite some time, and it's only now that we have been able to really complete the ecosystem that includes both the platform which has been there for a long time, and now we have a very compelling usage occasion, and that is the Rocket e-commerce business. So we should see some exciting on the part of Smart eMoney as well.
Let me answer the Signal question.
For Signal, basically the plan of action is that Signal goes on a joint venture with Viva, a leading film production company, and create a unique Filipino channel exclusive to Signal. The top three channels in pay TV are actually Filipino channels, and we believe that it will remain to be so. Therefore, it becomes a major attraction for a pay TV service. Signal will remain profitable despite the OPEX. This is well within the capability of the company to actually stay profitable. And we believe that such an initiative is actually not only going to push stickiness, but also further increase attractiveness of subscribers coming in.
If I may add to what Noel said, I think it's entirely appropriate for Signal to have its own proprietary content so that, you know, it's an attraction for subscribers to take up the Signal service, because it's only available on Signal. And quite apart from Viva, I'm sure we're talking to other content providers, and including the Bloomberg TV.
That's right.
Which is exclusive to Signal, so which will contain both foreign Bloomberg TV content and local business content that will be available only on Signal.
On the first question, it sort of is a similar point to the point of Niraja earlier. Actually, by tying the free internet to the low purchase, theoretically from an accounting standpoint, you should allocate part of that top up to data, which is kind of different from the free mobile internet previously, which wasn't tied up to a top up. But again, similar to Niraj's point, maybe at the end of the day, you should look at the total ARPU of the subscribers in that regard.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Luis Hilado. Your line is now open.
Hi, sorry, just one follow-up question for me. Aside from the CapEx guidance this year, is there any amount that you've allocated, maximum amount for digital economy investments, whether this year or over a certain period of time?
In a way, it's being opportunistic, but frankly, within the year, I don't envisage any significant investments a la Rocket Internet of that magnitude, right? So the investments you're making in terms of the native capabilities of Voyager really are mainly OPEX rather than CAPEX, right, Doy? So, you know.
I think there's a, just to add to what Manny said, there's a little bit of additional CAPEX. I think based on the various platforms with Voyager and Big Data looking at, I think the amount incurred so far, we tried to quantify that over the past few days. We came up with an amount of about $30 million. I think to get where we want to be, and there's quite a lot of initiatives underway, as you heard earlier, between now and the end of the year, there was probably another $20 million that we were looking at. So from what we've spent in earlier years, the first quarter of this year and to the end of this year, that'll probably take us to about 50. And then if we project forward the next couple of years on what we might have to spend on platforms, I think we were looking about double that. It comes up to, I think, Winston, the total of about 100. So of which we've incurred about 30. So that was it on the CAPEX side. But as Manny said, a fair amount of it relates more to OPEX. And then any opportunistic investments. But again, the investments that we're looking at, I would say, are more in the iFlix type range of the $10 to $15 million, maybe even a little bit smaller. I think the Rocket was kind of a one-off. And not something that we're likely to see. It's, as I say, maybe the $5 to $15 million
investment range.
Great, thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Niraja. Your line is now open.
Okay.
Oh, hi. Sorry, I had a follow-up. Actually, on this iFlix, right? So it seems like a lot of the pay TV operators first took one step to make their content available via internet to their own subscribers, and a lot of them now are thinking about making this as a proper OTT sort of a service. And Singtel in Singapore is also launching its Hook service. So I'm just wondering this could potentially become a crowded space. And so given your investment in this iFlix business, that's what I was trying to come at as in terms of where do you see the opportunity and where do you see your strengths in sort of expanding to the other markets within Asia. So that's the first question. And on the wireless broadband side, your net adds have picked up quite strongly, but your ARPUs are under a lot of pressure still. So any color on that would also be helpful. Thank you.
On the iFlix piece, for one, our offers are better versus Hook from a value standpoint, right? So that was something that was very clear on the onset, and that we felt, was a good hammer in terms of just investing on it, and of course eventually having a commercial deal with these guys. Now number two would be, our base is so huge, millions of subscribers for both fixed and wireless, that it was just a big pond that we could just put content on, and they were thirsty for content. The market is ready. Binging is something that we're seeing as a habit, and all we need to do is just provide content on a broadband service that works, which, of course, what we have to begin with.
I think that's part of the increase in subscribers did come with some decrease in ARPUs, which is not dissimilar to what we've seen in the way the whole cellular space has grown in the past. So we have been more aggressive in terms of pushing out some of the devices, gadgets, pocket Wi-Fi, and in terms of penetrating more of the base. At the same time, I guess apart from the broadband revenues, it's also been the mobile internet push to the smartphone side by a power up, safe zone, and some of the other more sachet type initiatives.
Okay, because just the revenue growth still seems to have, despite the pickup in subscribers and things like that, the revenue growth is still not picking up in this line, so that was why...
That's part of the free internet, sort of period that, first quarter was part of that period. And that was enjoyed both by, dongles and smartphones.
Okay, and just to follow up, in terms of this digital investment, I mean, just like how you've invested in iFlix, I just want to, I understand the Voyager is more a OPEX business, but I'm just wondering, do you have like a number for more investments in some of these digital, in terms of taking a stake, is there any number that you have for this year or the next few years?
We are actually evaluating some possible investments, but as Chris said, these are in the range of, not in the rocket range, but in fact smaller than the iFlix range. So it should not be significant this year.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and then one, and kindly record your name when prompted. To cancel, press star then two. Our next question comes from Arthur Pineda. Your line is now open.
Hi, thanks. Just a follow-up question. Can you remind us on the revenue model for Smart eMoney? What percentage of transaction value can you retain? Are you actually allowed to make money on the float, given that you don't really have a banking license? Thank you.
Well, first of all, we don't make money on the float. We don't make money on FX. So it's either a transaction fee, which is a percentage of the transaction value, or a fixed amount. Okay. In either case, it's not big numbers. These are very small in terms of percentages, 2%, 3%. The normal in terms of the acquiring and issuing business, it's around the 3% range. In terms of the transfers, remittance business, it's more in the range of 1 to 2%. So these are small percentages against a big throughput.
Understood.
But the strategy is to get more involved in other parts of the value chain. So while now we use partners to collect remittance as well as to deliver remittance, going forward we will have full capability to source the remittances as well as to deliver the remittances.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Operator, are there any other questions?
Yes, we do have one more question coming from Kervin. Your line is now open.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to ask questions. So just two questions for me. Can you give us more color on competition, specifically on the cellular segment? Can we say that the environment has improved given that you're started to push to monetize mobile data? And secondly, can you give us more details on the potential retirement costs to be incurred this year from the manpower restructuring program? And consequently, the compensation cost savings we can expect from 2016 onwards. Thank you.
Cellular competition.
Yeah, I'll deal with the cost first.
Okay.
Well, we do have in the second quarter anticipated higher compensation costs arising from manpower reduction charges that we have incurred. Indicatively, there's over 450 employees on the fixed line side that have availed of early retirement. This happen to be more tenured employees, so the MRP charge that we may take on the books is something over ₱1 billion in the second quarter. And then if you recall, I think some analysts had alluded to this, there is also a gain that will come in the second quarter from selling down part of the Beacon investment in Meralco. So effectively, those will be the two sort of items that will come into the second quarter that are a bit of a non-recurring in nature.
With regards to competition, the competitive situation remains to be intense still, but this is more confined on the legacy services like SMS and voice, and also on a regional or what we call the hotspot basis, where we are responding effectively in each of these areas where we are being attacked. On the broadband side, it is we're moving towards volume pricing, and this is driven by the regulatory environment where we are being asked to explicitly, I think Ray expressed the, if you are unlimited, to really be detailed as to what are the surrounding conditions for unlimited. So this has encouraged both operators to move into volume pricing, and which is good for the industry. So that is the current situation. We hope a more rational behavior will be happening towards the end of the year when the market or the dust settles when it comes to the legacy services.
Thank you. But for the compensation cost savings that we can expect from next year, is there any guidance to that?
power costs arising from the MRT this year. So starting from 2016, what is the impact on pump and then?
Yeah. Well, generally, since we are retiring the more, I guess, the older and more expensive staff, there is the ability to get that payback in 1.5 to 2 years' time. It's not uniform. Certain positions, I guess, will be replaced either through outsourcing arrangements or younger, less expensive type of talent.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. As of this time, we don't have any more questions on queue.
Could you read the replay information, please?
Okay, thank you. Now, I would like to give everyone the instant replay information for today's call. This conference will be available on a 24-hour instant replay starting today daily on through May 19, 2015. The replay information for this 3 p.m. call is... The international caller number is 852-3018-4126. The U.S. toll-free number is 1-866-845-9418. The U.K. toll-free number is 0800-376-1419. And the Singapore toll-free number is 800-120-5681. Japan toll-free number 00531-122247. Australia toll-free number, I do apologize, Australia toll number is 612-8206-0867. Passcode is 8518 and conference leader is Melissa Verhel de Jos. I'll now turn the conference back to PLDT for any additional or closing remarks. Thank you.
Well, on behalf of all of us, thank you for joining us for this first quarter briefing. I think the second quarter full first half results will be scheduled on August the 4th. And I think quite apart from the briefing with you, with the analysts and investors on that day, we may suggest maybe a longer session with you in respect of a fuller presentation of the plans for PLDT moving forward. I think we've given you an idea of the various digital initiatives we're undertaking, but I think there may be a fuller exposition that may be, for example, on e-commerce, on and online payment system. What the ecosystem really look like? Some ideas of revenue generation and the like. So. We will in due time advise you when that session with you could be, maybe around that date or on that date, maybe for 2 or 3 hours with all of you. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And that concludes today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may disconnect your line in your own time.